Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati, thank you very much for joining us. It's a victory Monday, September 17, 2018. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati now joined by Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star, who was in Pittsburgh covering the Chiefs' win over the Pittsburgh Steelers, 42-37. Patrick Mahomes, 6 touchdown passes, no interceptions. 6 touchdown passes, 5 incompletions against Pittsburgh. Good morning, Sam. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm okay. 6 touchdown passes, 5 incompletions. Your thoughts?
I mean, it was a joke. I was just watching the game again here, and like, he could have been better. I'm legitimately like, he's to the point, you know, 2 games into his life as the starting quarterback, I'm to the point where like, when he overthrows Sammy Watkins on what could have been like a 40-yard touchdown, or the Tyreek Hill one, like, I'm legitimately surprised.
Yeah, when they got backed up at the 1-yard line, I'd sent out a tweet that was only like half joking that they're about to throw a 99-yard touchdown pass and it's going to travel 85 yards in the air. But I kind of thought like, I won't be surprised at all if he throws a touchdown pass right here. Right. In fact, I was more surprised that he overthrew Tyreek Hill in that situation.
Yeah. I mean, it's a joke. Like, I mean, I cannot believe. I thought that this could be what the finished product would be. You know what I mean? Like, a year from now, 2 years from now, 4 years from now, whatever. I didn't think that he'd have, like you said, Steve, 6 touchdowns and 5 incomplete passes, like at Pittsburgh, a place where the Chiefs have been, you know, unsuccessful in the past. I don't know if you guys remember that. And like, right off the bat in start 2. Like, these were supposed to be the tough games, you know what I mean? Like, the, and I get, like, it was a break with Joey Bosa, whatever, but, you know, that's who a lot of people, most people even, were picking to win the division, right? And goes in there and, you know, AFC Player of the Week. And then he's even better the next week at Pittsburgh. Like, these were supposed to be the rough games where, okay, he's got some stuff to learn. And then later on, you're playing, you know, Cleveland and, you know, you get the Raiders twice. The schedule loosens up a little bit. This is bonkers.
So you wrote a column about this, and we've been talking about this, and this was everyone's hope that with the right guy, the franchise quarterback that the city and this organization has been seeking for several decades, it forces you to rethink all of the possibilities and understand that great quarterbacks, special quarterbacks, can cover up the flaws of the rest of the football team. It could just simply do things that other quarterbacks can't do and help your team win games that in the past they couldn't win. I know it's only a couple of games, but there's enough evidence to at least feel real good that the Chiefs have found that guy.
Well, you're right. Like, it's only 2 games, and you know that needs to be like sort of an umbrella over everything that we're talking about, right? Like, it's only 2 games, but here's the counter to that is there's no evidence the other way. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we've seen like the spectacular and granted, like the most spectacular throws that he's had have been, you know, Denver last year to Marcus Robinson against the sideline. And then, you know, 70 yards in the air to Tyreek Hill, like in the preseason, like the games that haven't mattered as much, but you know, we've seen that from him, but we really haven't, other than that, you know, the dumb idea to Demetrius Harris last year in Denver, like there's that bad decision hasn't come. You know what I mean? Like the stuff that we were hearing about, like, well, he's going to turn the ball over a lot. Like, he really hasn't thrown a ball that, obviously no interceptions, but I don't think he's thrown, am I forgetting one that should have been picked? There was that Sammy Watkins, like, bounced off his hands in L.A., and that could have been picked. Right, and there was another one that could have been picked that was on but it got called back on a penalty. But there hasn't been like that, just, you know, ooh, he's pushing too far. That was a, you know, one of those gunslinger, you know, mistakes. There hasn't been that. Now, granted, like, he hasn't played from behind at all, so you know, maybe that'll come when he's down 10 points, you know, early in the fourth or whatever. Maybe, who knows? But like, we haven't seen any of that. All we've seen is him like being awesome.
Yeah, there hasn't been that WTF throw. Like,
right.
Like,
well,
like,
there has been, but it's been the other way. It's been like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like a positive WTF right. Exclamation point instead of WTF question mark.
Right.
I mean, but because Philip Rivers had one of those throws last week where there's no pressure whatsoever and he just feels like he's got to make a play and he throws into triple coverage and the Chiefs get an interception. Like, we haven't seen that from Patrick Mahomes yet. And, you know, and Stephen and I have brought this up, and I think you have too, Sam, is that some of that narrative of Patrick Mahomes is going to be an interception machine was manufactured. He was not an interception machine in college, even as much of a young quarterback as he was. He threw some, but Deshaun Watson threw a lot more. You know, I mean, we just have, it's like there's just been this assumption that he's this freewheeling, freelancing gunslinger, and he's young and raw, so he's going to throw out picks like crazy. And they're really... That was kind of a forced narrative. And look, will he throw some picks this year? I'm sure he will. But aren't we learning already that this idea of this untamed wild stallion that can't be holstered like Brett Favre, that was wrong. That was a wrong assumption that everybody made.
Yes, I have a theory about this too. And I say this, I still expect him at some point he'll have a game where he throws three or four interceptions because I think every quarterback, you know, has that, especially early. But I think that people who are expecting 25 interceptions or whatever, it was a superficial opinion. It was a superficial deal because air raid, you know, big arm, Texas Tech, like that, and that's as deep as it went. But you're right, like his, you know, interception rate, if you look at it as a percentage of throws, was way less than Deshaun Watson. Now, granted, you know, he's playing inferior defenses in the Big 12 compared to, you know, the ACC and certainly the schedule, you know, that Clemson was playing. But still, like, there wasn't, you know, he wasn't throwing a bunch of picks. His interception rate, granted, you know, Mitch Trubisky only had 1 year as a starting quarterback in college, but, you know, it was pretty similar to his. And the only, I think the interceptions, you know, when they come, because, like, he's not going to have 80 touchdowns and no interceptions, which is his base right now. You know, when they come, I think they might tend to come, again, like, when he's down and he's pushing it a little bit. Like, the Phil Rivers throw that you just mentioned, they were down at that point, right?
Yeah.
And you know, so, you know, your calculus changes a little bit. But he's just so far ahead of, you know, sort of where a reasonable person would have expected him to be in week two. Like, again, it just, you know, 23 of 28, right? Or is it 24 of 28? It was 23 of 28. You know, like, this kind of performance is what you would expect, you know, in year four. You know, like, Aaron Rodgers had his MVP year. Like, that year he had, like, 45 touchdowns and, like, six interceptions or whatever, you know, when he was 27. You know, Patrick Mahomes is just turning 23 today. Like, I just feel like he's just way ahead of schedule, and that's a credit. Here's another thing I think that was easy to miss with Pat, like, in the analysis of him, you know, sort of as a like draft curiosity, and then even in the last year, is you don't realize that he's pretty freaking smart too. Like, he's, you know, you kind of think like just athlete, right? Like, you know, a draftable kid as a catcher, or I'm sorry, as a pitcher and as a center fielder, by the way. A draftable talent, you know, a really good high school basketball player, could have been a college basketball player. And you kind of think, okay, maybe just an athlete. But, you know, he was the Big 12 student athlete of the year in football. You know, he's got, he wasn't like a crazy good student because I think he just cared a lot more about sports, but he's got like sort of this advanced mind too. I mean, a legitimately like photographic memory that helps in these kinds of things. And I think, you know, look, I'm saying this as somebody that did not expect him to be this good this soon, but you can kind of reverse engineer it in a way that, like, okay, he's obviously got, like, these physical gifts, and then you pair him with, you know, the mental, you know, the mental ability and a coach that is hell-bent and, you know, very intent on getting Patrick to be as good as he can. I guess this is what happens, but still, I still can't believe he's this good this fast.
Sam Mellinger is our guest. All right, Sam, I asked Adam Teicher. He did not know. Nobody that watched the game can answer this question because CBS did not show it. But the hold on Orlando Scandrick that negated the Chris Jones touchdown, did it actually happen? Did anyone see it but the official? Do you have any evidence that it happened?
I do not. I was not watching that part of the field. The thing, and it is weird, right? Like, they usually kind of have cameras everywhere. And you would think, and look, it won't be the best angle, but when that All-22 film comes out, you know, we might be able to get a little bit better idea, although, again, it won't be the best angle. There were a few, you know, and look, like, you guys know how I feel about, like, officials, right, and blaming certain things on officials. But, you know, they did not have the best day. And remember the throw that was may or may not have been across the line of scrimmage, right, for the touchdown?
Yeah. Was it?
It's close enough that it could go either way. I think he was across. But if your whole body has to be across the line, I can see how they didn't overturn it. But if you watch that play again, the more obvious call is Justin Houston getting held. And you know, he was rushing up, and he had a really good rush, and then he was coming back, and I think he probably could have made a play on Roethlisberger, but the left tackle, you know, just grabs his jersey and, I mean, just holds him, like, right in front of the quarterback. And I get, you know, you can call hold on every play, right? Like, people say that, but that was pretty obvious, like, and right there in front of the play. There was another, and you know, this didn't just go against the Chiefs. I was just watching. There was another play. Nobody notices it, like, unless you watch it again, right? But there was an illegal formation on a play where the Chiefs had a second down and 10 conversion. And so, you know, if that gets called, they did not call illegal formation. So if that gets called, now it's second and 15, you convert that drive ended up in a touchdown. You know, I mean, there was missed calls all over the place, but that Scandrick play, you're right to bring it up just because that's a enormous swing, right? I mean, that's a 14-point swing.
This brings up, though, why I always, and I know you say it too in much more eloquent terms than me, I just say that complaining about the refs is for losers, and you say it's the ballot of the loser because the Chiefs are good enough this year to overcome that. You know, like, to me, like, when you're, because bad calls happen. I'm not here to argue that bad calls don't happen or that refs all get it right. Bad calls happen. If you're really good and you got a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, you still go win on the road even when you get a couple of terrible calls, or even if they're I won't say terrible calls, but calls that were incredibly influential, you know, like a call that takes a defensive touchdown off the board, a call that takes an interception in your own end zone off the board. The Chiefs right now are good enough to overcome that so they don't get left sitting around going, oh, well, if we would have got that call, we'd be all right. You know, and right. That, I mean, that's key. I think that's massive for this team.
And that's been, when the Chiefs have had good teams, that's where they've been, right, for the last 40, 50 years is, you know, they can't have that call go against them. And, you know, I thought the Steven Nelson play, I think that's the one you're referring to in the end zone against Antonio Brown. I thought that was a legitimate call.
It was.
I really, you know, he grabbed his shoulder pad and impeded the route. But, I mean, the Scandrick play, look, like, the only thing I can say about that is, like, Scandrick was getting beat bad enough, often enough that, okay, I can probably believe that he did it, you know, but it's weird without seeing the video evidence. And again, I'm telling you, if you guys watch that play again where Roethlisberger may or may not have been across the line of scrimmage, watch Justin Houston, and he gets freaking held. And, you know, that's the call. And I forgot what down was. That was a third down, wasn't it? On that play where Roethlisberger was kind of across the line, like may or may not have been. So that's
I'm
a third
to remember.
Down. So,
yes.
You know, if you call that hold, you know, that's an enormous play.
Sam Mellinger is our guest. Sam, can you spend another segment with us, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you. I would love to.
It's
Sam Mellinger. He will rejoin us live from Pittsburgh right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's rejoin Sam Mellinger, who's in Pittsburgh.
That song seems appropriate right now.
Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star. All right, Sam, let's Let's talk about the defense. Again, the star of the show was Patrick Mahomes, 6 touchdowns, no picks, only 5 incompletions, and the Chiefs win a shootout 42-37. And I know that, look, hey, there's little to take away positive from the defense, but we were talking about this earlier. The Chiefs got out to a 21-0 lead with help from the special teams, but also, look, the Chiefs defense started off the game with back-to-back 3-and-outs, and then Pittsburgh missed a field goal. And then in the second half, after the game was tied at 21 and momentum appeared to be gone, and then the teams traded touchdowns to start the second half, Chiefs defense forced 3 straight punts and allowed the offense to rebuild the lead. And I know it feels like we're grasping at straws, but that's more than the Pittsburgh defense did. And at the point of Chris Conley's fumble with 5 minutes left, where it appeared like the Chiefs were at the least on their way to kick a field goal, or at the most to run out the rest of the clock, at that point late in the fourth quarter, the Chiefs had held Pittsburgh to 7 points. The Chiefs defense had held Pittsburgh to 7 points, and then Conley's fumble, and they drove down, and look, they still gave up all those yards, but there were some times when the defense got stops and allowed the Chiefs defense to pull ahead twice.
The offense has so drastically changed what's required of that defense. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
all it takes is a stop or two, right? You know, we're talking about a defense that has given up more than 1,000 yards in the first 2 games. And I know they've had a lot of snaps, right? They've been on the field a lot, but that's still 6.9 yards. I think I did this math. I think it was 6.9 yards per play total, which, you know, no team gave up that much last year. No team gained that much as an offense last year. I mean, this is really bad, you know, kind of no matter how you look at it. And they're not getting turnovers either. So you can't really – you remember when the greatest show on turf – you know, they had that defense that wasn't great, but they got a lot of turnovers. You know, they're making big plays, and the Chiefs haven't been doing that. You know, they've got, like, some issues, obviously, like, you know, especially in coverage. Like, you know, if teams can get their running back isolated against the Chiefs linebackers, that is a really bad matchup. That's a bad situation, you know, for the Chiefs. And they've got Orlando Scandrick out there, you know, getting called for penalties and giving up catches like on the same play. You know, that's a problem, especially without much of a pass rush. And I'm kind of in the process of watching this game again. It seems like in the second half, they started bringing a little bit more. You know, there was a lot of like eight man drops in the first half, and I think there was less of that in the second half. And if that's true, then that's something that I think a lot of us have been, you know, kind of wondering why the Chiefs haven't done much. That used to be Bob Sutton's thing, right? Is these, you know, exotic blitzes and, you know, bringing guys from different areas. And, you know, with this team, they're probably going to have to do that because they don't, you know, Justin Houston's a good player, but he's no longer, you know, sort of the force of nature that he used to be. And, but they've got some versatile guys. Like Anthony Hitchens can blitz. You know, he's fast enough to do that. They've got some guys, you know, in the secondary. Ron Parker is a good blitzer. They've got some, you know, Tano Passanio can win some rushes and that kind of thing. They've got some pieces that they should be able to manufacture some sort of pass rush. And look, like, with the offense like this, and, you know, it's not going to be like this all year, right? But with a really, really good offense, you can afford to take some more chances because maybe giving up a touchdown, you know, how do you say it? Like, the calculus changes between how bad giving up a touchdown is versus how good getting a turnover is when you have an offense that you think can score, you know, more times than not.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see, I'm not saying I want to see this, but before I completely judge this defense, I kind of need to see what they look like when they're playing from behind, you know, yeah. Or when they absolutely have to get a stop or something. And I'm not saying I'm really optimistic about those things, but I do think that the defense changes a little bit when they've jumped out to big leads so early in the first 2 games like this.
Yeah, and another thing to keep in mind is the Chargers and Steelers are going to score a lot of points on everybody.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not like this. Maybe they're not going to average 500 yards per game, but, you know, these are really good, like, Hall of Fame quarterbacks, literally Hall of Fame quarterbacks. You know, they were two of the top five offenses in the league last year. So, you know, San Francisco, a little bit, you know, different challenge, right? And plus you're at home. That should matter a little bit on defense, in theory at least. So it's not like completely doom and gloom. And, you know, I'm saying this as somebody that thinks Bob Sutton should not have the job that he has right now, right? But, you know, that you can find some positives if you look.
You can certainly find some positives about the offense and a couple of more positives that need to be addressed outside of Patrick Mahomes. Sammy Watkins' performance. We see what the Chiefs liked about him. I mean, man, what a physical runner. And, you know, a nice stiff arm. A couple of times he stayed in bounds and delivered the hit. And you're talking about if Tyreek Hill's option number one and Kelsey's option number two and Kareem Hunt, you throw him in there, I mean, you go down the list, and you got a guy like Sammy Watkins who would be the top option for a lot of offenses in the NFL. Well, you saw what Andy Reid and Brett Veach liked about him yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah, the fourth best option of that offense is either Sammy Watkins or the guy that led the league in rushing last year. Fourth. Like, that's pretty ridiculous. And he's open a lot, you know. I guess we just talked about it last segment, but there was a, you know, could have been maybe a 40-yard touchdown. You know, he was open and, you know, the ball was just overthrown.
And wide open.
And, yeah. And there was a play last week, a couple actually, where, you know, it looked like maybe the ball could have got to him, but it didn't. But looked like that's going to happen, right? Tyreek Hill was open deep on one play where Mahomes ended up getting sacked. But, you know, he's really talented. And, you know, there's some, I think it's been blown out of proportion a little bit, but, you know, there's some injury questions with Sammy Watkins for sure. But, you know, it seems like, and the contract's too, it's too much money, right? But just as a football player, you can definitely see. I mean, this is, you know, that GM and that head coach and the people that work around and for them are just hell-bent on doing everything possible to make that quarterback succeed. You know, that's sort of where everything starts and everything else, like, sort of happens from that point. And, you know, there's no question they're a lot better. And I like Chris Conley and I like DeMarcus Robinson. I think those guys can be good in the right situations, but, you know, there's no question that Sammy Watkins makes them a lot better, more dangerous.
And the other thing that needs, again, to be pointed out, it was a 5-point game when Pittsburgh kicked off to the Chiefs with a minute 59 left, and the Chiefs needed to get a first down to essentially end the game. They don't get a first down. Pittsburgh gets the ball back with over a minute left, down five. Who knows what the hell happens there?
Yeah.
But they came out when they needed to run the football straight ahead of Pittsburgh, and everyone knew it. Kareem Hunt, 9 yards. Kareem Hunt, 3 yards. And that pretty much ended the game. That's a statement. And that is, I think, a big statement from the offensive line and the mentality of that offense. When you're on the road against Pittsburgh, a team you haven't been able to beat, and they know you're going to run the football, and you run it twice for 12 yards and pretty much end the game.
Yeah, that's a really smart point, because, like, last week in the locker room, I remember, you know, even after that game in L.A., right, like, where everything was fun and everybody's happy and stuff, you know, Mitch Morris, Mitchell Schwartz, like, they both talked about that a little bit of not being able to end the game, you know, not being able to grind out the clock at the end. And, like, that's a high-level self-criticism, right, because they did obviously win the game. And I kind of, you know, if you're going to – this is nitpicking, but other than the penalties, you know, if there's a weakness on that offense, I think it is the run blocking. So, you know, being able to do that without, you know, sort of the, I hate this term, I can't think of another way to do it, but, like, the, you know, without the gimmicky, you know, shovel pass and, you know, using Tyreek Hill as a decoy kind of thing, just straight ahead running, you know, I think that is important. And I think, like, just as a kind of confidence thing and, you know, swagger thing, just because I know how those guys felt after last week, I think that is important for them going forward, for the offensive line specifically I'm talking about.
Allow me to make a parallel, Sam, to the World Series champion 2015 Kansas City Royals.
Okay, let's do it.
the Royals, that team had flaws. They had some things they were really bad at. They didn't really have like a true Hall of Fame type player. It doesn't, maybe. But they were elite in a couple of things. They were elite defensively. You know, they had these great athletes that like maybe one of the greatest of all time defensively. And then they were elite in the bullpen. This Chiefs team, to me, is elite offensively. And they're elite in one other category that I don't think is getting much talk. And that's special teams. Their weaponizing of the punt return game came into play again yesterday with the Sammy Watkins, with three guys back to return punts this time. And the other part, I just think it's important sometimes to talk perspective on, we take for granted the 6-for-6 on extra points that were all right down the middle by Harrison Butker. There were missed extra points around the league yesterday. There were missed field goals around the league yesterday that cost teams wins and probably are going to cost some kickers jobs. Mm-hmm. We need to kind of point out how good they are in special teams, and that could be a massive difference for this team, could it not, when it comes to actual games that really matter late in the season?
Yeah, absolutely. And, Dustin Colquitt, too, is in that group. That was a really – I don't know that I've seen a play like that first punt return. Maybe I just have a bad memory on these things, but I just – you know, those guys peeled back and then – correct me if I'm wrong, but they're basically decoying Hill, right? And, you know, because the Gunners are coached to look for the deep guy, and at least I want to watch it again, but that's how it seemed to me, right? Like, they're using Hill as the decoy, and then DeAnthony Thomas catches it, you know, and gets them a little bit by surprise, and fumbles and gets it back, right? But that's a really big gain. And DeAnthony Thomas, too, that was a gruesome leg injury, that broken leg in Denver. That was one of those where just immediately he is on the field screaming. His teammates, you know, there's a different body language, a different face that guys get on injuries. A lot of them, he'll be back, you know, a couple weeks or whatever. But that was a really bad one. That was, if I remember right, they announced the surgery like when the game was still going on. And that's the kind of thing where, like, is he going to be, you know, kind of a borderline 53-man guy anyway, especially after you signed Sammy Watkins. And you kind of wonder, is he going to be okay? Is he going to be like 100% a part of this team going forward? But this is a part, it's a huge part of his value. He made a huge play last week on the fumbled punt. And that was an enormous play in that game in L.A. And he had another play, I think it was in the third quarter, I might be wrong on that, but a punt return that looked like it could have gone for a big gain, and DeAnthony Thomas kind of comes out of nowhere and just makes a really, like, a linebacker, you know, a middle linebacker kind of tackle on it. He can be a really, really valuable piece for this team, too, going forward.
Open field tackling Antonio Brown on that play.
Yeah.
And
hell of a play.
To go back to the punt, you know, I think what happened, Sam, is the Chiefs now know that most teams are not going to have the guts or stupidity to kick deep
right
to Tyreek Hill. And so they decided, let's have our two, you know, blockers on the Gunners drop back, because if the other team tries to kick it short and to the sideline, we might be able to sneak another return that they're not ready for, because they're thinking, if we just kick it short and toward the sideline, it'll be too far in front and to the side of Tyreek Hill for him to be able to return it, and it'll bounce, or then it'll go out of bounds. And the Chiefs still got to return. I mean, he has become such a weapon that, like we talked about, the absolute worst case scenario, it seems, for the Chiefs on punts is that other team's going to kick the ball out of bounds and just give up 15 to 25 yards of field position. Or the Chiefs can do something like this. I mean, it's incredible what that weapon is for them in terms of flipping field position.
Yeah, it'll be like kind of cool, too, just in this really nerdy way that I know a lot of us get into, but of, you know, now that's on tape, right?
Right.
And so now, like, the adjustment to that, and now teams are going to know that the Chiefs might do this, and now maybe they kick it deep. Now maybe Tyreek Hill gets another chance or two. I mean, it's just, you know, there's a, you know, Dave Tobe is, you know, there's a reason that people talk about him as, you know, being a very rare move from being a special teams coach to a head coach. And, you know, that he's got the weapons, right? Like, I guess this is a little bit like how we talk about the offense a lot, but, you know, Tyreek Hill as your punt returner makes any special teams coach a little bit better. Dustin Colquitt as your punter makes a special teams coach a little bit better. But, you know, there's little things like this that you notice that, you know, sort of he's part of, you know, sort of why that unit is generally better than average. And this year, you're right, man, it looks like for sure one of the best in the league.
Sam, thank you for the time. Have a safe trip back to Kansas City, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Looking forward to it.
That is Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star back after this on WHB.